I'd like to continue discussing with you in Yonei Haggadah, Haggadah Shel Pesach. Again, from this fantastic Sefer, I cannot give you more higher praise than I don't know what to say about this. It's a fantastic Sefer called Sefer Kehilchos HaPesach by Rabbi Rand. Michoel Aryeh Rand. R-A-N-D. Rand. Okay, let's continue to discuss a few things which caught my attention. Yesterday we were in the middle discussing karpas. He presents here another fascinating reason why we karpas. As everyone knows, there's a variety of minhagim of which vegetable to use for karpas. You're supposed to use something that you make eho adama. Supposed to be greens, endives, radish. What about a potato? So we mentioned that today there is a custom to the potato. I don't know the reason that some don't want to use a potato because it's not green. And it's not, as some learn, the Chayadam says it's kidneyos. You're not even allowed to eat potatoes.
Yeah.
So even though we're not makbid on this, it's unheard of to accept this lahalacha, but at least for karpas, you shouldn't use it. Or some, I don't know the reason, some learned that traditionally it was not universally accepted to make a ho'adama on a potato. Anyone aware of this? They used to make a shahakal. There is an opinion that you make on potatoes that grow out of the ground. You make a shahakal. I don't know why. But therefore it's not the right bracha. One of the reasons why we need karpas is to make the bari pri adama for the moror. But if you're going to be making a shahakal, or there's a chashash that you're making the wrong bracha, so it's not the right bracha in order to be yotze the moror, which certainly is a ho adama. Okay, my custom, I've always eaten potatoes, so I will continue eating potatoes. Nevertheless, I'm not going to change one iota because of what it says here. Everyone seems to say, I've discovered it's much more popular to use the index finger for the dam sardeya. What do people use?
Pinky.
I was brought up using the pinky. Some use the spoon, some pour wine out, you pour wine. I was brought up using the pinky. I'm not going to be changing just because I've seen all of these. Okay, let's continue. Let me just turn to the right page. Now, another reason I saw, which is very interesting, is the reason why there is such a variety of eating different vegetables for karpas is it's a zecher to what we ate in Egypt. Unfortunately, we learned about what we ate in Egypt when Klal Yisrael complained that they did not like the man. And they said, Zacharnu es hadaga, asher nechal chinam b'mitzrayim. And then they go on to give a long list of vegetables. Es hakishuim, the avitoyach, I don't remember, the avtichim, all of these vegetables, a whole collection of vegetables. And in fact, some of the Mefarshim tell us that the man tastes like everything except for these vegetables. Right? Except for those vegetables. So some want to suggest...
Like herring, that's why you want herring.
So some want to suggest that's really why we eat karpas. Because the matzah is a zecher for the man. So in the matzah we'll have everything. But we're not going to have all of these types of vegetables. Since it's Zman Cheirus, you have to have everything. You have to have everything. Kol tanugi olam hazeh. In a chanami. So that's why there's different opinions exactly as to what are the... You can use for karpas almost anything that you want. Anything that's vegetable, kemat. Possibly, maybe, and maybe not. But we have to use something which make adama. And the reason why we karpas, it's a zecher, number one, that we were slaves. And slaves were fed these different types of vegetables. Okay, let's now go to another idea. Let me just try to find the place. Okay, we dip twice. It's the manishtana. We dip the karpas in salt water and we dip the mor in charoses. Why did Chazal require us to dip twice? So he presents here from two different from one from the popular Haggadah called the Maaseh Hashem. Maaseh Hashem says with the Nesivos, Well, that's the Maisinitzim. I'm getting all confused. Maisinitzim is getting confused. There's a slave called another parable, Hagadah called Masa Hashem. And he says the reason why we dip twice is the two tibulim, which dippings, which sandwich the entire story of the Exodus. Why did we go down to Egypt? How did it all start? When the brothers sold Yosef and they dipped his tunic in blood. When did we leave Egypt? When Hashem told us to take the Dam Pesach, to take the Ezoif, and dip the Ezoif in the blood. So our beginning, the Yerida to Mitzrayim, was done through a Maisa Tibul of dipping, and the Yitzia, when we left Mitzrayim, we were told to dip the Ezoif in the blood and apply it to the doorpost. That is the sandwich from the beginning to end, and therefore Chazal required us in the Haggadah to have a double dipping. Alternatively, we have a double dipping. One is the... What?
Double dip. We dip
for the dipping of the Ezoif in the blood that we apply to the mezuzah, on the mezuzah. And then when was there a second dipping? At the time of Har Sinai. At the time when Hashem gave us the Torah, Moshe Rabbeinu dipped. Let me read you what it says. It was Tfalta Badam Asher Basof. That was the first time. Vayikach Moshe Es Hadam. Vayizroik Al Ha'om. Vayomer Hinei Dam Habris Asher Koras Asher Mimachem Malkol Adam Mo'ele. So where was the dipping? Moshe, he took the blood and he poured it.
After when he broke the Luchas from the spread.
That was water. He had them drink. He ground up the eagle, but that wasn't a dipping. He says here, this is brought down from the Sefer Marbe L'Saper, over Hagodas Marbe L'Saper, Mehagoyin HaKadosh Rabbi Yedidya Tia Vial. Kosav Shukide Lahaskis Oifen Hagu'ula Vyas Mitras Hagu'ula Hatibul HaRishon Keneged V'Tvalten Ba'adam Asher Basof. And the second is Hatibul HaSheni Keneged V'Yikach Moshe Es Hadom V'Yizroik Al Ho'om V'Yom Hinei Dam HaRish Shekos Shem Yimochem Al Kol HaDvar Mo'ele. Okay, I'm not sure where the Tibul was. I didn't read this correctly, but there's some type of a dipping that took place there at the time of Matan Torah. Also represents the Yitziah. When Moshe Rabbeinu spoke to Hashem, Hashem said, you're going to take them out of Mitzrayim for the purpose of Bavur Tavzimis Lachim Al Harazim. So the Yitziah begins with the Tibul of the night of Pesach, the Ezoif in the Dam HaPesach to apply to the Mezuzah, and the conclusion, the Tafkid of Yitziah Mitzrayim was by Matan Torah, again when there was Dam. Okay, let's go to another idea. Okay, let's now move along to stealing the Afikoimen. The first was the second table of the first interpretation. When they dipped the blood, they dipped the Ezev in the blood to apply to the doorposts.
I'll take it the second.
And the second time was the Tafkid of Yitzias Mitzrayim was Matan Torah. Okay, let's now go to a new topic. The topic of stealing the Afikoimen. I assume that most of you in your homes, your children or your grandchildren, steal the Afikoimen and you have to pay a nice ransom. I'll tell you a very quick story, a very funny story. So often, I'm not sure, one of the Gedol Yisrael, where the child stole the Afikoimen from his father, from the Rebbe. And it came time for the Afikoimen, and the Rebbe said, where's the Afikoimen? So the child said, I got it. I'm not giving it back to you unless you give me this gift. I want this and this. I want a new smartphone, and I want an iPad. I want a new Game Boy, you name it, I want it. So the father said, I'm not giving you nothing. So they had to negotiate. And at the end of the negotiation, the child, of course, won. The father promised to give away the whole house. So, okay, the child gives the Afikoimen to the father. So then the father says to the son, "Sonny boy, what about you? Where's your Afikoimen? You gave me the Afikoimen. Where's your Afikoimen? What are you going to eat? It's a mitzvah to eat the Afikoimen." So the father says, "You know what? I'm not giving you the Afikoimen. I'm not giving you a piece to your portion unless you moichel all of your tzvius. You moichel on the smartphone. You moichel on the iPad. You moichel on a new computer. You moichel on all good zachet." So the son says to the father, "Father, you think I'm a nar? I already put away for myself my own portion." I knew you would say that. I already put away for myself. Yismach Lev. So it says the father. The story concludes that the father had a lot of hana. That Baruch Hashem, I was zeichet to have a son that's a chacham. That's a chacham. That's not a tippish. He knew how to take care of himself.
Start teaching him. Yeah.
Okay, but the question is: is it the proper thing to steal the afikoman? So, in fact, many Gedolei Yisrael were very against this. Very against this. Rav Chaim Kanievsky, in fact, in the Haggadah, we discussed this, he actually makes an announcement by his Seder that by us, the minig is you don't steal. It's not chinuch. The whole Seder is structured about chinuch habanim. You don't steal. What kind of chinuch is this? Especially in today's model, can you imagine they have a Haggadah, they have a Seder in the White House, already for a couple of years. So it's a chilul Hashem. You tell Obama now we Jews steal the afikoman.
He's stolen enough.
It's so okay, but it's not. He would say it's so in the modern world. It used to be hundreds of years ago. The goyim really didn't know what was going on. A Haggadah is something that's done behind closed doors. So whatever it is, there's some kedushim and stealing. But today we live in a world where we live in we have glass walls, and everything that we do is we're watched. It's not proper first of all, it's not proper for parents to be mechanech children to steal, and then the whole world is watching. They you just go online, you can learn everything there is to know about Yadus. You steal. What is this all about? It does not set the right tone. So in fact, many Gedolei Yisrael were very upset with this minhag, and they told their children, they told their families, we do not do this. However, there is something to it.
We always did
steal.
We had the afikoman.
So you have a whole different minhag where you hide it.
Steal it, you took it.
That's not the ikar minhag. That's something different. That's a whole different approach. So to keep the children awake, so you hide and seek. All right, it's a different approach. But how there is a minhag? Where does it come from? So first of all, one of the answers given, it's a very interesting idea, is how did Yaakov Avinu receive the brachos? We're not coming to answer the question. We're just coming to open up an issue. How did Yaakov Avinu receive the brachos from Yitzchak? Ki be Yitzchak yikar lecha zara. Which Yitzchak will I call Yitzchak? Who? Who's going to be the recipient of the bracha? This was the machlokes between Yitzchak and Rivka. Yitzchak, his first decision, according to the simple reading of the psukim, is Esav. Esav was meant to be the legacy of Yitzchak of Avraham and not Yaakov. Rivka saw through Esav and brought things about that Yaakov Avinu should be the one that will carry on the traditions of Avraham and Yitzchak. How did this entire thing come about? Mirma. Rivka had to dress up Yaakov like Esav, put on the big day Esav HaChamudos, the Gidi'izim, and present the Mat'amim and lie, Anoichi, Esav V'chayrecha. The brachos came through Mirma. And in fact, Afikoman has the same gematria, I didn't figure this out, so maybe I'm wrong, has the same gematria as Mirma, Bimirma. Therefore, as a remembrance that our entire existence, the Klal Yisrael, only came about through Mirma, why it had to be is another discussion. He doesn't really answer the question, it just puts the focus of attention in a different location. We're stealing the Afikoman. It's not a pleasant thing to do. But we have to realize, for whatever reason, the brachos that Klal Yisrael received also came about through Mirma. And in fact, it came about below Pesach. We have a tradition that the night that Yaakov received the brachos from Esav was the night of Pesach. And that's why he brought for his father Shnei Gedoyizim, one for the Korban Chagiga, one for the Korban Pesach. So it just changes the focus of attention to realize that we live in Golus, and in Golus it's not a perfect world. Things, we're not zoicha that we should be able to achieve what we need through things which are ideal, and unfortunately there are things that have to be done that are not ideal in order to achieve the ultimate goal. And of course it's a very dangerous concept. There are parameters. The ends do not always justify the means. Maybe sometimes they do. I don't know. That's a very dangerous concept which has to be discussed. And part of the equation is dealing with this very complicated concept of Yaakov stole the Bechorah. Vayakveni Zefamoyim. It wasn't really stealing because he sold it. When Avraham Avinu died, Lamazeli Bechorah, he sold it. He was only taking back rightfully what is his. So technically speaking, thing, he didn't do anything wrong, but it didn't come out looking good. And that really captures the essence of galus. We do nothing wrong, but because we have sinned and we have to purify ourselves through galus, things don't always look the way we would like them to look. That's part of the tsar of galus, and we capture that expression, that feeling, in the form that unfortunately the afikoimen has to be stolen in a way that does not appear to be 100%. So there definitely is something very deep and profound in this idea. Another idea. What?
Bimirma.
The Gemara Bimirma. Okay, another idea. A person comes to Shemayim, they say to a person in Shemayim, one of the four questions they ask is kavata itim l'torah. Kavata, I don't remember all the details, kavata? Kavata has the meaning of to steal. In life, sometimes you have to steal from yourself. A person works, he spends time with his family, parnasa, but there are things you have to do in life that are, you have to learn, you have to spend time learning Torah. Sometimes you have to steal time from yourself in order to learn Torah. Like this famous story with the Chafetz Chaim, he told his wife, for the 3 hours in the morning, I'm dead. When you run the store, don't come to the Beis Medrash and bother me. There's an emergency in the store, and you have to come back to the store. If I was dead, would you come to the Beis HaKvaris and knock on the grave and say, we have a problem in the store and we need you to come? You wouldn't do that. So just like you wouldn't go to the Beis HaKvaris and knock on my grave and tell me, please come to the store, we have an important customer, we have a problem in the store, for 3 hours in the morning when I'm in the Beis Medrash learning, don't come and bother me and tell me you need my assistance. You have to steal time from yourself. Taking the afikomen is by stealing the afikomen, what we're really doing is, in life there are a lot of things you have to do, but you have to have priorities. And when you have priorities, there are other things that suffer. And that's just the way it is. You have to decide what is a priority, and you have to steal time away from other things which are important. Of course, you have to steal be'oifan al-heter. That doesn't mean stealing to go rob a bank. It means to prioritize things that are important, and that by definition will take away from things that are not ideal. In fact, in the Aseres Hadibros it says, lo tignov. In between the word lo and the word tignov, there is a psik, which the Darshanim explained to mean lo, comma, tignov. That there are times when you do have to steal. You have to steal ba'ofan heter. You have to steal from yourself time to do things that are important at the expense of other things which are less important. And that concept is captured in the Seder. There's nothing more important than the matzah, with what it represents. And children have to be taught tignoif. You have to steal that afikoimen. That afikoimen represents Mashiach, it represents the geula, it's tzofon, it's hidden away for the time of Mashiach, and you have to chap. You have to chap, you have to prioritize, it's important, even though it's going to come at the expense of other things in your life. Okay, let's go to another idea.
Another, a much lighter vein. So I think he asked them at Tzid. I don't know if it's the Tzid. What does this mean of stealing?
Yeah.
We do everything at the night to commemorate something that
Kedusha.
Happened. What's the meaning of stealing? He says, he answered like this. He says, why do people have dogs? To protect them from somebody stealing, because if somebody comes to the house to try to steal, the dog barks. He says, what does it say in the night?
Lo yechratz kelav
l'shoyna. So this was a field day for the robbers.
It's a zecher, right? He says that it's a zecher. It's a zecher that the dogs did not bark, because when the dogs do not bark in a city, there's a ribu in Geneva. It's a zecher. It's a very nice idea. Okay, let's now go to another idea. This is a very deep idea, and just to touch upon, you have to elaborate on your own. The very popular question: why don't we make a bracha on the Haggadah? We recite Haggadah. We do not recite a bracha. So some will tell you we do recite a bracha at the very end. At the very end of the Haggadah, Asher Goalonu, we recite a bracha. Okay, that's an answer. But there's another answer, that the Haggadah, the bracha of the Haggadah, there is a bracha. It's part of Kriya Shema. When we recite Kriya Shema every night, there are two brachos before and there are two brachos after. Arvis. And Arvis, we have to, and the mire of the four brachos that we recite before Shmona Esrei are all centered around Kriya Shema. In Kriya Shema, what do we mention? Man Tiskar. As Yom Tzeischa Me'eretz and Koyim Echayach, we Mekayim in Kriya Shema Laman Tisker. As Yimei, what we say in the Haggadah, Kol Yimei Chayecha Larabos Halelos Laman Tisgru V'Asisim is Kol Hashem Hashem V'Asisim. Some go on to go say, Ani Hashem Lochichem Asher Tzeis Yaschem Me'eretz Mitzrayim Lios Lochem Elokim. We say this pasuk every time in Kriya Shema to fulfill, and that is captured within four brachas. Therefore, this is a very interesting idea. On the night of the Seder, we recite the Haggadah. The Haggadah requires a bracha. We said a bracha. The bracha that we said in Ma'ariv is the bracha for the Haggadah. What does this concept do for us? It completely shifts the focus of the Haggadah to Kriya Shema. The Chazal have structured the way that we remember. The way we remember Yitzias Mitzrayim every single night of the year is sandwiched, is captured, is completely integrated with the concept of Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, Kabbalas HaMitzvos, Kabbalas O Malchus Shemayim, the first two parshios, and then a remembrance of Yitzias Mitzrayim. This is how Chazal have structured our remembrance of Yitzias Mitzrayim together. One and the same, part and parcel of Kabbalas HaMalchus Shemayim, and that is sandwiched within four brachas. The night of Mitzrayim, the night of Pesach, is the night of Zechiras Yitzias Mitzrayim. We focus back the brachas that we recite before and after Kriya Shema have much greater significance because this is the Ikur bracha that we need for the Haggadah.
Shachianu
is that we do make a Shachianu before we begin the Haggadah. That Shachianu goes for the entire Haggadah. All the mitzvahs we discussed yesterday, the mitzvah, the Shachianu that we recite when we begin the Haggadah goes for the entire Seder. So therefore, what do we take away with this? We take from this, what is the Iker lesson you're trying to teach children, you're trying to teach yourself the night of the Seder? Kabbalah so Malchus Shemayim. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. That's the second to last piyut. Echad mi yodea, Echad ani yodea, Echad Elokeinu, Shabbat Shemayim uva'aretz. What do we say, what are the popular stories of the Haggadah? Maisa in Bnei Brak, where the group of Tanoim were sitting, Ad Shegia, until the Talmidim arrived and told them, Higia Zman Kriya Shema Shel Shachris. There is indeed in the Haggadah an emphasis, at least in the Piyutim at the end, and in the center of the Haggadah, right after the Manishtana, of Kriya Shema. And that's because the reason why we focus on Kriya Shema and the Maisa, that Higia Zman, Yuhu Mesaber, B'Yitzias Mitzrayim, they were speaking until they reached the level, until they were told by the Talmidim that Higia Zman, Kriya Shema, Shel Shachris, because that's the Tafkid. The Tafkid of discussing the story of Yitzias Mitzrayim is to come to a greater appreciation of Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. And the ultimate proof for that is that the Haggadah is a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah deraisa. The galata levincha bayomahu leimor bavurza asa Hashem libit seisim in Mitzrayim. It's a mitzvah no less than any other mitzvah that we do. And every mitzvah requires a bracha, and there is no bracha. And the only way to understand what happened to the bracha is to look back at the nusach hatzvila and to realize that the four brachas, the two brachas we say before Kriya Shema and the two brachas we say after Kriya Shema are indeed the brachas of the galata levincha bayomahu leimor. And what is the central theme of these two brachos, which capture within it Yitzias Mitzrayim? It's all intertwined and intermingled with Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Possibly. There is a possibility. There's another possibility. Let's say a person doesn't say one word of the Haggadah and just opens up a Mishnayis, Masechta Pesachim, and reads a few Mishnayis. According to some Pesachim, you'll make even learning Halacha. Halachas. And what's the Raya? The Raya to this is from the Chacham. The Chacham is Mo Eilus Af Ato Emolok Hilchas HaPesach. Just teaching the laws of Pesach, not even focusing on the story, what happened, and giving Shelech Vahidah, also to some degree is a fulfillment. It's a very interesting idea. There are brachas. Ma'ariv are the brachas. It's a different type of ma'ariv.
Is the other answer, you know, that there's no gevul?
Right, there are many answers. There are many, many answers.
Same also, if you're going to teach him halacha,
Include in the bracha of Birchas HaTorah. Okay, but it's a very interesting idea. It gives very great emphasis to something that we don't really think. There are certain things that are so central to pay it to the Seder and are absent. For example, Moshe Rabbeinu. Where is Moshe? So we discussed, yes, you'll find her over Muslim. He's a central theme in Yetzias Mitzrayim. Absent. What about Kriya Shema? Kriya Shema is, this is what it's all about. Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Where is Kriya Shema? In the Haggadah. Also, it's mentioned Beremes, the Mesarpim Yetzias Mitzrayim until Lamaisa, they told Mizman Kriya Shema. Echad Miyodea. But the truth is, Kriya Shema is the central theme of what it's all about, because the Haggadah requires the bracha, and the bracha is the bracha of Marv, which captures, is primarily focused on Kabbalas O Malchus Shemaim Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Now, another reason why we don't make a bracha is any mitzvah which is dependent upon others, the Chazal did not institute a bracha. For example, tzedakah. We don't make a bracha when we give tzedakah. Why? Because I need a chefsat to be mekayim the mitzvah. I need a person. A person has to be the chefs of my mitzvah. If I want to give a person tzedakah, I have to find the person on who needs the money. What happens when I make a bracha? And I put out my, give him a dollar. And the ani says to me, a dollar? How dare you? I don't take anything less than $18. So I just made a bracha levatala. He rejected my tzedakah. When a mitzvah is totally bedas acherim, lo yatsa. The mitzvah of Sibu Yitzias Mitzrayim is totally in das acherim, the children. Let's say the children don't want to listen. The children don't accept. Or the children don't understand. You're not mekayim the mitzvah. You need someone to listen to you to be mekayim the mitzvah of Sibu Yitzias Mitzrayim. Merely you can't make a bracha. L'may nafgamina. No, discussed this. Rabbi Friedman discussed this issue. L'may nafgamina. Let's say you have a person who lives in Chutz Liaretz and he comes to visit his children in Eretz Yisrael. He has children. He supports his children living in Eretz Yisrael. Second Seder. Yeah. So the father is making a second Seder. Let's say he holds, I know this is a very controversial issue, especially today it's became very controversial. Let's say Lu Yitzui, this person's rough told him when you go that he's a full-fledged Chutz Liaretz. He never narrowed to show. He's not moving to Eretz Yisrael. Doesn't plan. And they told him you have to make a second Seder with all of the Hidurim. So he sits down by the second Seder and he's surrounded by his children who live, are full-fledged residents. They're citizens of the state of Israel. And they are not coming back home anytime soon, if ever. So they're potter. They don't make a Seder altogether. But he, the father, needs to be mekayim the mitzvah on the second night of the Seder of Sibur Yitzias Mitzrayim. He needs them to listen, even though they're not mechuyev b'davar. They're not mechuyev because today it's not their mitzvah. They only observe one day of Yom Tov. The father is observing 2 days. The father can only be mekayim his mitzvah of Sibur Yitzias Mitzrayim on the second night by them sitting there and listening to him tell them the Haggadah.
They should bring tape recorders.
They could. They could bring a band. It's like Hakafis. Hakafis.
So what happens? You say
What happens to make a Seder alone?
In other words, you're saying the Seder alone. You're alone.
Then you have no choice. Then it's a problem. It is definitely
a
problem.
What's the difference between that and that?
It's a problem. Saying the Haggadah alone, not saying it to someone, is definitely a problem. It's not so simple. Okay, let me tell you one more var. Now, this is a very, I think this var made a very powerful impression on me. We have in the Haggadah, we mention the Haggadah, matzah. And when the Baal HaGad explains matzah, the explanation is where does that come from? It comes from a pasuk in Parashas Bo. Let me read you the pasuk. Let me tell you that's let me read you the pasuk. Okay, this is in Shemos Yud Beis Pasuk Lamed Aleph. Vayisaha Ames Bitzeko Term Yechmatz. The people picked up their dough. Botzek is not bread. Botzek is dough. Dough has potential to turn into chametz. If we let the dough sit for 18 minutes, it will turn into chametz. Vayisaha Ames Bitzeko. The people picked up their dough. terem yachmatz, before it had a chance to turn into chametz. Mish'aroi sam, tziros besimloi sam, al shechmam, their dough was bound in a package upon their shoulders. They rushed out of Egypt very quickly. And let me go further. Was the wrong pasuk. Give me one second. Okay, let's jump ahead. Okay, so took the dough. Let's jump ahead. Pasuk lamites. Vayofu es habotzek. And finally, at some point in time, they baked this dough. Asher hotzil mimitzrayim ugos matzos, cakes of matzos. Now here comes the hard part of the pasuk. Kilo chametz. They did not bake this dough in the form of chametz. Ki gorashu mimitzrayim, they were driven out of Egypt. V'lo yachlu lehismamea, they could not delay. V'gam tzedo lo asulam. What is the simple interpretation of this pasuk? So there is pretty much a three-way machlokes: the Ran, the Ramban, and the Sipurna. The Ran says that the people who left Egypt would have gladly baked chametz. They were in Egypt, and they were preparing to leave. They were preparing to leave, and before you leave, you have to make lunch. They took out their Ziploc bags and took out the tuna fish out of the can. Are you okay, Michal? And they took out their food, they took the dough, and they started to prepare the dough. And they were planning to let the dough rise and turn into chametz and make sandwiches. All of a sudden, Moshe Rabbeinu gets on the intercom and says, Rabbeisai, the buses are leaving. The buses are leaving, there's no time to let the dough rise and turn into bread. They said, we need 60 minutes. We need 60 minutes to finish up the sandwiches. Moshe said, Rabbeisai, the buses are leaving in 5 minutes. You're either on the bus or you're not. Either you're coming or you're staying. Make a decision. This is Nitzchis. So they said, we got no choice. They took the dough and they shoved it in the oven. And within 2 minutes, they had matzah. They took their tuna fish. They had their matzah tuna fish sandwiches, put in the Ziploc bag, and were on the bus, and they were out. Moshe would have given them time, they would have made chametz. They would have made bread. And that's how the Ran learns the simple translation of the pasuk. It says here, Vayofu es habotzek, they had in their possession dough, asher hotzil mimitzrayim, ugos, and this dough happened to be ugos matzos. Why? Kilo chametz. It wasn't chametz. The pasuk explains to us. Do you know why the dough did not rise and turn into chametz? The people would have preferred to have fresh bread, chametz bread, to eat on the road. It's because the pasuk now is giving us an explanation. Ki garishu mimitzrayim v'lo yachlu lehismeh, they were driven out of Egypt, they were not able to delay the gam tzedo lo yisulahem. The Ramban disagrees. The Ramban says, what are you talking about? You know why they baked the bread into chametz? Not because there was plenty of time. The buses, they baked matzah. The buses weren't leaving. Moshe said the buses are leaving in 2 hours. You have 2 hours to prepare. Plenty of time until chatzos, until you're going to leave. No problem. Prepare. They could have easily made chametz. You know why? Because the Torah says, when you leave Egypt, you're going to have matzah. The Torah wanted there to be matzah. Hashem gave a command. According to the Ran, you have to learn that was for next year. The command was not for now. The command was for next year, or the command was for the night. Lel Mitzrayim, when they ate the matzah, they ate the Pesach together with matzah. But when they were leaving Egypt, so according to the Ran says, this is the first Pesach. The rules of the first Pesach were different than the rules of all subsequent years. So according to the Ran, the Gezun Dehet, you want to have chametz? Have chametz. The reason why they didn't have chametz was because the buses were leaving in 5 minutes. The Ramban disagrees. The Ramban says the rules for the first Pesach are no different than the rules for all subsequent years. The Torah says you're not allowed to have on Pesach chometz. So the pasuk says ki lo chometz. The yovu es abotzek asher simim mitzrayim ugos matzos. They baked it in matzos ki lo chometz. You're not allowed. You're not allowed to have chometz. It's forbidden. And then it goes on to say, now the problem is the Ramban is in a lot of trouble now. Because how does the Ramban now learn the end of the pasuk? Ki gorshu mimitzrayim, they were driven out of Egypt. V'lo yachlu lehismameh. What does the end of the pasuk have to do with the first part of the pasuk? They were driven out of Egypt. So let me, we're out of time. Let me just jump ahead and give you the pshat, which the Ramban also hints to, and what the Sipurno says explicitly. The Sipurno, let's put the Sipurno together with the Ramban. The Torah says, no chametz. First year, first Pesach. We have dough. We have to bake. Where are we going to bake this dough? Where will we bake the dough and turn this dough into matzah? Ideally, we'll bake the dough, turn the dough into matzah in Egypt. The buses are leaving in 2 hours. We have plenty of time, so we'll make the preparation. We're going to take the dough, put it in the oven, in the Egyptian ovens. In Egypt, they had ovens. We'll put the dough in here, we'll make the matzah, and we'll prepare. They were planning on making matzah. No question about it. But there's something else that happened. They didn't even have time. There was such a rush to leave. They didn't even have time to take the dough and put the dough in the ovens in Egypt. The buses are leaving now, this moment. I'm not even giving you a minute. How long does it take in the modern matzah factory to make matzah? 60 seconds. 1, 2, 3. They put the dough in the oven. Hot ovens, it's matzah before you blink. They're very hot ovens. I'm not even giving you 60 seconds to put the dough into the oven. Just take the dough with you and we'll turn it into chametz.
Into matzah.
We'll turn it into matzah somewhere else. Where else? So the Ramban is not really sure. Where do they make the matzah? The Ramban says they made the matzah on the road. While they were traveling, well, they had portable ovens, and they made the matzah while they were traveling. The Sipurno says, no, they didn't make the matzah, they didn't make it. They made the matzah when they reached, very explicit, Sukkos. When they reached the first day, where did they depart from? The parking lot was in Ramses. Their first stop was Sukkos. When they reached the first stop, their first rest stop in Sukkos, that's where they took out the dough they took with them, and they made the dough. They baked the dough into matzah according to the Torah's requirement that Pesach, you're only allowed to have matzah. But wait a minute, here's what the Sipurno says. This is an amazing insight, which is a game changer in understanding what matzah is all about. The Sipurno asks, wait a minute, how long does it take to travel from Ramses to Sukkos? It takes a long time. It definitely takes more than 18 minutes to travel from one place to another place. How long does it take for dough to rise, to turn into chametz? 18 minutes. So if they were in such a rush, Moshe Rabbeinu did not allow them to transform the dough into matzah in Egypt because the bus are leaving now and they had to take the dough with them and hold it in their pockets while they were traveling on the road until they reached Sukkos, the dough should have turned into chametz. So what happened? This is the Sipurno. I'm not making this up. They reached Sukkos in less than 18 minutes. And now, when they bake the dough in Sukkos, they were able to make the dough into matzah. So what does that tell us? What is that? This is the clincher. What does this tell us? When we bezman hazeh eat matzah, according to the Sipurno / Ramban, because Ramban really, Kamat says this, and you have to see this inside. Kedai to look at this inside very carefully inside the Ramban and the Sipurno. What are we commemorating? We are commemorating kefitzas haderech. We're not just commemorating. If you take a child out of cheder, go to a 3-year-old boy and tell him, why do we eat matzah? Because in Egypt, we took dough and we made dough into matzah. We were in a rush. But there was no miracle in the time of what happened to the dough. We had dough and we made the dough into matzah. Either we made the dough into matzah in Egypt or we made the dough into matzah on the road. The Sipurno says that's not what happened. There's another element they had dough, and the dough, the clock was ticking, the dough would have turned into chametz al pi derech hateva, and the only reason why this dough did not turn into chametz is because Hashem bestowed upon Klal Yisrael the miracle of kefitzas haderech. So what is that? When you're biting into a matzah, you're biting into an object that is a reminder that Klal Yisrael is lamala min hazman. It's not just that you have dough and you quickly transform dough into matzah. It's a zecher that we're not subject to the limitations of zman. Klal Yisrael is a nation of nitzchis. Hoya hove v'yiyah. What is the first mitzvah? Hachodesh hazeh lochem rosh chodoshim. You are in control of time. Time is not in control of you. Matzah is something which breaks a zecher for the recognition that Klal Yisrael is not subject to that. And now, if you take that a drop further, when was the first time in the Torah we find the concept of kefitzas haderech? Eliezer, not Avraham Avinu, Eliezer. Well, Avraham Avinu, Eliezer, if he went to find the shidduch, he tells Besuel Lavan, Hayoin el ha'oyin. Rashi, Mikan, Shekavsu loy haderech. What is happening? Well, it's a very powerful concept. What's happening? Who's Eliezer? The Eved Avraham. What is he going? He's going to the Mekayim ki biyitzchok. He's on a mission to fulfill ki biyitzchok yikara lecha zora. Zera, what is it? Zera, Zara, I forgot, whatever it says. Zara, ki biyitzchok yikara lecha zora. And how was this fulfilled? Kfitza saderech. The shleim of the maitse of el simul abanim. The Klal Yisrael's mission is lemala min hazman. Matzah is a reenactment of Kibi Yitzchak, of the mission, the shlichus of Kibi Yitzchak and Kol Zorah, Kfit Saderech. That's what Matz is, a token zecher of Kibi Yitzchak Yikor L'Chol Zorah, the idea of Kfitza Saderech.